The city's approach to invasive species has changed over the years, but this one you may not have expected. Goats, yes, goats, they're so sweet, they're fuzzy, they're white and black and tan, all here to help tackling invasive species on city land. Here to talk about such a fun topic today, we have City of Madison Engineering Division Greenway Vegetation Coordinator Maddie Dumont and Parks Division Conservation Resource Supervisor Paul Quinlan. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Yes, impressive titles and an impressive approach to this. We will get into all the goats, but first, for anyone listening or watching, can you both kind of describe what you do day to day and how that intersects with goats? Maddie, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, absolutely. So as a vegetation coordinator, I work on the city's stormwater land. We have about 1,600 acres of stormwater land. My primary goal is to increase the biodiversity of that land and bring it back into native plants as much as possible. That's great for stormwater purposes, and it's also great for natural habitat resources. So goats can mimic part of the natural cycle that many of these plant communities evolved with, and so that's why we've been using them as a resource management tool.
Paul.
So I oversee the management of the conservation parks and the city's natural areas within the park system, and so primarily it's the 21 conservation parks and also some of the natural areas in the community parks like Elver and Warner Park. And so we're trying to bring that ecological management throughout the park system and all of the natural areas.
It's really just a fun topic. Anytime we bring it up in city kind of meetings or what's going on with the goats, everyone wants to know. So where did this idea come from? Walk us through how we got to this point.
Well, goats
that a loaded
have been
question?
Used in municipalities for, I would say over a decade by now. But the idea first came to me, or I first heard about it, from the city of Minneapolis. They have been using goats for browsing in some of their public land. And it has spread throughout the country, and it's not so uncommonly used, but it really first came to the city through conservation parks.
Mm-hmm. One of our landscape architects, Sarah Grimalkin, she actually was developing a new park on the west side of town and needed to clear a bunch of invasive brush and did a lot of the legwork in terms of working with the city processes to have goats be allowed in the city limits.
Sure. There's
and
process,
so, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So once she did all that work, we kind of ran with it because we said, this is great. It fits right into our ecological management in the conservation parks.
So,
and we took it from there. So she, credit is due
okay.
to Sarah.
Yes, shout out to Sarah, yes. How do you, like, you know, we talk about process, and I hear you say, like, you know, getting the ball rolling with, you know, finding, but where do you find goats that that do this? Are these
right.
special goats? Are they like, I don't, you can't just pick any old goat.
Right. the goats that graze our land are quite special.
Yes, each and every one of them, yes.
There's several outfits around the Midwest that rent out goats for grazing, for people to clear land, clear brush, just open it up. And so as ecologists, you know, land managers have started to use prescribed grazing as a part of the restoration process. It seems like more and more companies are springing up. We work with Hockhagen Goat Grazing out of Poinette. They mm-hmm. own about 100 goats, mothers and babies, and they breed them each year and bring them all out to different sites to graze invasive species.
What a great partnership within the community as well. That's fantastic. They're eating invasive plants.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this important for anybody who may not know what an invasive is and why? Just why is that important?
Sure.
And do they like it?
They love it, yeah. Buckthorn is one of their favorite plants. So do you want me to start 10,000 years ago with the retreat of the glacier? Or? So our modern-day landscape.
We only have 20 minutes, Paul.
Our modern-day landscape is very fragmented. And as many people know, oak woodlands and prairies rely on fire, and we don't have regular fire through a lot of our landscape. In addition to people bringing ornamental plants and different things from other continents here, a lot of our native plant communities have become invaded by species that aren't native to North America. And so they have an unfair advantage sometimes. Some of them just really grow out of control and really suppress the diversity that we have in our natural areas. And so we need to control them, remove things like buckthorn and bush honeysuckle, which can invade a woodland and just have 100% cover across the woodland, shading out all the native species. So fire is a way to help keep them out, but in areas that haven't had fire in a long time, it becomes really overgrown. And then it's a heavy lift to reset the ecosystem.
We're doing a lot of work with invasive species and engineering as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So similar goals to conservation parks, where we have some wooded greenways and ponds that you know, you can't even see herbaceous vegetation growth on the ground. It's just kind of bare exposed soil when you've got a heavy buckthorn or shrub understory. And that's not great for our stormwater land, because we can get erosion of that soil into the waterways, which can then go into the lake and pollute our lakes and add additional sediments there. So getting something in there that can eat and prefers to eat woody plant growth is great for us in these areas.
So that's the why. Back to the goats. Okay, so how much are they eating? You said they like buckthorn. How much are they eating of this? How much do they need to eat?
So a goat can eat about 8 pounds of food a day. It varies by how many goats you put in an acre. And so thankfully the people at Hockhagen know how to calculate that to make it all fit within a growing season. Mm-hmm. But 8 pounds of food a day. Their diet, their natural preferred diet, is actually kind of similar to deer. And so they prefer to browse on leaves of woody species. They'll eat some grass and some flowers as well, but the bulk of their diet, about 60%, is browse, which means they're eating off of shrubs and trees. And so they really do a number on that shrub layer, the overgrown woody species that we were talking about. They'll eat all species, whether they're native or not, but we're using the goats in areas that have a lot of buckthorn and honeysuckle, where we would go through and remove all those species anyway. So
they're not too picky.
No, and they're pretty intrepid eaters too, which is helpful, because, you know, buckthorn woody plants of course grow up, but they will climb up to knock a shrub over just so they can eat the leaves at the top, and they'll get as high as they possibly can. And you can certainly see a browsed area as high as they can reach is as high as there will be defoliation. So you can see how high the goats get, and then maybe leaves will grow above that area.
Yeah, the goats get up there. Is it called technically prescribed grazing? Is that what I'm
saying? Yeah, it's prescribed grazing. Goats are technically browsers.
Okay.
So it could also be called prescribed browsing, because they do eat woody species rather than just grazing on grass the way cattle do, and just all grass. So it's, you know, splitting hairs for...
The idea behind prescription is just
they eat.
We're moving them from site to site. So, you know, as Paul mentioned, they eat, 8 pounds a day?
Yeah.
So you can't leave them on the same site forever, because they'll get hungry. So you have to keep them moving and bring them back when things leaf out again.
So this started in 2020 during the pandemic. It's been kind of a few seasons, right, trying out this approach. How is it going? And we're using them in engineering parks. Is it the same, or are you using different goats? Are you working together? How is it going?
Well, so engineering, we've only just dipped our toe in this management process. And we've used goats once on one of our greenways. We found that they ate through the site very, very quickly, which was exciting. And I partly wanted to use this site because there was a noxious invasive weed called Japanese knotweed on this site. It's very, very difficult to control, and I wanted to see if the goats would eat it. And yes, they did. So that was great, a great first management step for us on that site. But Paul really has the vision to move the process along to its ultimate conclusion. I think it's really interesting what you're planning for these sites.
So as part of our woodland management in the conservation parks and beyond, what we normally do is we'll go into an overgrown woods, have to cut out all the buckthorn and honeysuckle. Then we throw down native seed to get grasses and flowers growing, and then we burn it to keep it open so new woody species don't invade. And so you either have to cut them all by hand and use herbicide on the stumps so they don't grow back, or cut them repeatedly, either by mowing or, you know, hopefully with fire. But if it's overgrown, there's not enough grasses growing to be able to have a fire. Mm-hmm. So it's this sort of vicious cycle you need to break. So by bringing the goats in, they remove the shrubs, which allows more light on the ground for the herbaceous plants to grow. And so it's one phase in this shifting the equilibrium of the community from being shrub dominated to more open and having room for herbaceous species.
And it's going well.
Yeah, it is. We have several sites that this is the third season they've been grazed, and you can really see the reduction in the amount of shrubs and how large each individual shrub gets as well. And so just by reducing the space that the shrubs are taking up, it's allowing for more diversity and a different kind of plant community to grow that we can then maintain with prescribed burns.
How do you know where to put them? On what sites, locations? Are people going to be looking out and seeing goats in their backyard if it's a city-owned land?
Well, I think Paul has a similar process to engineering in that when you decide to do management on a site, you have to follow through with that site. So selecting sites where management is possible and desirable for all the reasons. Perhaps there's an adjacent parcel that is high quality. Maybe there's a particular invasive species that needs to be controlled. Or perhaps it's an area that's going to be disturbed by other construction or infrastructure installations in the future. So picking your site carefully, making sure that it's going to have the long-term maintenance that it needs, and then making sure that it has a lot of browsing plants there, so heavy woody growth, and something that you're going to try to push towards a more natural community, be that sort of a open woodland or a savanna, or even perhaps sort of a more open prairie type community at parts of it. So.
Mm-hmm. So it could be really anywhere that needs it, it sounds like. That's
yep.
how you,
yeah.
From the experts, they decide where to put it, and then the goats, they come. How long are they out there? I'm asking such softball questions, but I really just want to know. I want to know all about the goats. How long are they out there?
They're there all summer. And
really?
The sites are listed on Park's website.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're at the point now. It started with just one or two sites, but this year we're grazing 8 different parks, and it's a total of 70 acres. And so this has really become one of our regular practices, burn, mow, cut, graze. It's one of the major land tools that we use. So we're working it in where appropriate across the system.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
That's why people need to listen to this and watch this. That is really neat. If people see them out, what should they do?
Don't touch the fence.
Don't touch the fence.
But tell your friends and come back and notice the changes that are happening in the park and see how the ecosystem's improving and becoming more diverse after it's grazed. And then hit us up to volunteer in other ways.
Yeah, which leads me to my next question. It's like we wrote this or something. Goat checkers?
Yes. So as you can imagine.
Yeah.
8 different parks. It's a lot of ground to cover. They're not at the parks all the time, but
okay.
The Hockhegan is running 2 herds concurrently, and so they'll be at 2 different parks. And part of what makes this work so well is that the contractor doesn't have to drive down from Point Ed every day and check on the goats just to make sure that the fence is still standing and the battery is charged and that the goats are all healthy and have enough water.
Okay.
So staff and volunteers are able to do that because we're local and in the parks anyway. And so we've opened up, asked volunteers to help us. We get an overwhelming response.
Really?
Some people were upset that they didn't have the opportunity because all the slots were filled, which is a good problem to have.
Yes.
And we addressed it by providing additional opportunity. But what's involved is just go to the site where the goats are each day, make sure that the battery is still charged and the electric fence is operating. It's just a temporary electric fence that's put up around the pen. Make sure there's no branches falling down on it so that the goats can't jump over or escape. And just refill the water. We leave a large tank on site. They can refill the water tub. And just check on the goats, make sure they're all doing the same thing generally. Usually they're all eating at the same time or sleeping at the same time.
Yeah.
If one's off in a corner by itself, breathing heavy, then it's sick, so we let the owner know.
Yeah.
Just general welfare of the goats.
And that, just how it sounds. You're going to check the goats. Goat checkers, they should have a t-shirt made or something.
They should.
They really should.
They should.
I'm just thinking of the marketing here. So we talked about the health of the goats. Names?
They do have names. So
I didn't put this on my question.
I don't know if all goat herders do this, but the
you
folks
you gotta
at,
get some somewhat I know. Attached. I the mean folk... they're so cute. They're so cute.
The folks at Hockhegan have some kids and they let the kids their children name the kids as the kids are born.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I was like, baby goat
so,
is kid.
Right,
okay.
Some of them have names related to Disney movies. Aww. Like Lilo is one of the oldest goats that they have. Aww. From Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
I believe there's Elsa and Anna running around out there as well. but one of them, Janelle, is definitely the most friendly. She'll come up to you and kind of nibble at you. And there's... Me and some other volunteers may have a lot of selfies taken with Janelle, actually.
Oh my God.
So very friendly. So yeah, they're great. That said, we don't encourage people to jump inside the pen and, you know.
Right.
They're there to do a job.
Right.
But
right. Let them do their job. Don't
they are
touch
pretty
the
friendly. They all have names. So definitely Janelle and Lacey are my favorite.
Oh.
Don't tell the other guys.
Don't tell the others. I was just going to say. Guess, I mean, my last kind of question is, you know, if people are listening or watching this, what's one thing you want them to walk away with that about us using goats? One thing, they stop listening to this and they say, gosh, I listened to this the other day and this is what I learned about goats. What's one thing you want for a takeaway for people?
This is definitely a way that the city is really living up to its commitment and goals to be more sustainable using an approach like this that's one, it's more holistic, and it relies less on pesticide and fossil fuels. You do have to transport the goats here, but rather than mowing a site repeatedly, it's just more in tune with, you know, controlling the plants that are there with animals. As we used to have, you know, hundreds of years ago, there were bison and elk, which were an important component of controlling the level of woody growth in addition to fires set by Native Americans that lived here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more sustainable in the long run to go at it this way.
Maddie?
Yeah, I completely second what Paul is saying. And, you know, just letting our residents know that we are paying attention to newer research. This hasn't been a technique that's been around all that long, although in some ways it's, of course, ancient.
Right.
But it's being used more and more by urban natural areas management groups, and that's somewhat newer. And then the second thing I would say is hopefully this gets people out onto our conservation parks, you know.
Definitely.
Maybe you never thought to look at a conservation park before, but you're interested in goats and it will get you out there, and there's so much to explore at the city. So
love that. What a great. You know, those are great last marks. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for talking goats. What
sure.
a great topic this morning. And really, a lot of people are interested, from goat checkers to the community, and especially city staff, too. We all love to hear about the goats. So thank you both for being here.
Sure.
If you have questions or comments or want to know more about the goats, please write in to us. You can write in on our City of Madison Engineering Facebook page or the Parks Division's Facebook page. But just know that we are here for you as a resource every day in engineering.